like you make your own luck. Pre-production doesn't just set you up for greater success with the actual impact, but greater success with your client relationships and the relationships with the team that you're working with.
Welcome back to another episode of Video Production Daily. I've got Amina Moreau here with me again. I'm thrilled to have her with us. We are talking this week about pre-production. You can't just have an impact on an audience. You have to plan to have an impact on an audience. That process takes so many different forms. It's fascinating to me, the creators that do storyboards, those that don't, those that outline the plot before they get to the story, those that clean it up after the fact. Everybody's got a different process. We all know that Amina is an incredible storyteller. If you haven't checked out her work, I hope that you do it because it's going to give everything she says a lot more resonance and depth, and you'll really see her expertise shine through. So today, Amina, talking about pre-production, do you have a specific brand of pre-production? What does your ideal brainstorming process look like before you get to the story?
I loved what you just said about planning to make an impact. So I'm a little bit of a type A personality. I like to have control, but I also recognize that in filmmaking, you have to leave room for spontaneity. I think in life, maybe you need to leave some room for spontaneity. That's what adds dimension to things. But if you can, it's almost like you make your own luck. That's the way that I like to look at pre-pro. And we do a lot of documentary work and human interest stories, some fiction, which obviously you're pre-pro. that's a different beast. But when you're telling a story of real people in real life, the more you know about what is going to be said in an interview, or what is going to happen in a scene up front, the better you can plan for it, period. Not to mention, if you're working on a project with a client, the better you can communicate the intent and stay aligned, not just inside your team, but as an extended team with your client as well. And so pre-production doesn't just set you up for greater success with the actual impact, but greater success with your client relationships and the relationships with the team that you're working with.
So, Amina, what are you practically trying to accomplish in pre-production, right? You've won the job or you've got the gig and the client has bought into working with you. Does that mean that they've already bought into a proposal for a project? Have you delivered a creative brief? What are the processes that you go through so that a client knows what they can expect to get back from you and then how that translates into you getting started on a project?
Usually we have not yet embarked on the creative when we're asked to join a project, because I think at this point our clients recognize that we are not just an execution partner, we are a creative partner. And so our clients really want to make that creative process a collaborative one. And I love that because it's not just about creative control and egos and stuff like that, but I really think that when we can work together on something, usually the client is the subject matter expert and we might be the storytelling experts, but it's really when you bring those two things together that you can make greater magic than you could have independently of each other. So we start on that creative, and the first step is really aligning on the intentions. What do we want to accomplish together as a team? What do we want the outcome to be? Because without knowing that, we don't know why we're making this thing, and we don't know where to even start assembling building blocks in order to reach that goal if we don't know what the goal is. So we just start at the ground floor. What is this about? Why do we want to make it? What do we want the audience to do and to feel? Start there. And then the rest of pre-production is in service of that. Once that's been established, it doesn't really change. And I think one really important thing, and we've learned this the hard way along the way.
That's the only way to learn in video, by the way, is the hard
yeah,
way.
I know. But please learn from my mistakes if you're listening to this so that this never happens to you. It will happen to you. It will happen to me again, because this is one of those things that is very hard to avoid. But whenever possible, and fight tooth and nail for this, have every single stakeholder in the room when you are defining that vision. Because if some person joins the project midway through, maybe they're a new hire, or maybe they were just on vacation when you were doing all of this intent setting. But if they come in midway through with all these opinions and restrictions, perhaps, that's really going to mess with your project, especially if now you're in the edit and now they decide to have a voice. So first and foremost, get aligned, and then start looking for the best possible characters for your story. Start building a plot structure, and then create a plan for how you're going to execute all of the emotional and intellectual tones that you want people to come away with all of your gear, with all your tech, and start defining, you know, where you're going to use a slider, where you're going to use a 50 millimeter lens, and why. And always be thinking about that initial intent that you set together for the piece.
Amina, I know you've spent a lot of time not just creating these impactful projects, but also you've done a lot of training other filmmakers on how to do this. I'm wondering if you want to just share with our audience, you know, if they want to dive deeper into this process and learn more about, you know, storytelling in the way that you're talking about, how can they get a hold of those resources, or where can they go to learn more about this?
Yeah, well, I thank you. I have made a really big effort, especially lately, to put out more resources on a new brand, actually, that we launched called Sway Storytelling recently. Still Motion is known for its film production and its film education. But, you know, whenever you're having these conversations with a client about intent setting and what they want to accomplish, a lot of times you end up revealing holes that they might have as a company in their own communications and their own internal alignment. And that has presented some really interesting opportunities to us to step in almost like a branding agency. Not that we're designing logos or websites or anything like that, but it's more of the storytelling behind those things. And can we really align on who we are as a company and how we're going to talk about ourselves? And that was the impetus for growing this new brand called Sway. And the idea is to be more persuasive with your storytelling. And so we have a relatively new blog at swaystorytelling.com that has all kinds of storytelling resources, and it really dives into not just things like pre-production and how to structure a story, but the psychology and the science behind moving audiences so that they get on board with your idea, and how you can structure those stories in a way that doesn't just feel good or feel right, but has some scientific rigor for impacting change. Because at the end of the day, that's something that's really important to me as a creative and just as a human being, is that I feel like the world needs some fixing. And I feel like film is one of the best vehicles for social change out there.
Amina, thank you so much for sharing that. It's interesting to hear, as you talk about your process in pre-production, you know, you're often trying to get alignment with the customer on, you know, what is at the core of the onion as you peel back those layers? What is the idea you're trying to plant in someone's head? I find that often it can even be more challenging to come to consensus on what the theme is, right? What is the, what does the brand stand for? What are the, it's so much easier to have alignment with the problems that your customer is trying to solve rather than saying that you're the solution for everything. So you sometimes have to find that theme. I'm wondering for you, what is the process like of identifying, you know, what is at the core of a brand? How do they represent themselves? And how do you find themes? Because so much of the media that you create is thematic. So how do you get people in an organization to agree that this is the theme that we want to expose in our piece of media?
Yeah. Well, the exercise starts with just asking a blanket question. Why are we doing this? And who is it for? And if the team is already, they've already been working on like creating a creative brief, then chances are they have a vague idea. Maybe they haven't articulated it really clearly to each other. But when you're working with people who know what they're doing, they're, and sometimes it's, this raises really good flags that are good to know ahead of time. But people who have done this before may not be 100% aligned, but they might be 85% of the way there. And then the process is relatively smooth. But if you get into a room with people that are on completely different pages, that's a big red flag that if they can't even align in that moment, then you might be setting yourself up for some major conflicts throughout the project if it takes a lot of effort to just make small strides in that initial exercise. So it's a tough one. Sometimes it's good to have these conversations before taking on the project, before signing any contracts also. And I recognize that not everybody has the luxury to just turn down work because they don't like how aligned their client is. And so sometimes we have to work with what we've got, but at least recognizing that there might be some communication challenges can prepare us to over-communicate, to really put a bigger effort on our end to be super clear about everything that we're going to be doing moving forward and getting stuff in writing. So that if somebody comes in mid-project and says, well, why don't we get this? Or has some complaint about, you know, where the project didn't go, you can easily point to a written record of consensus that another direction, the direction you took, was the way to go. I mean, it's dealing with human beings, and human beings aren't always rational. And so recognizing that and showing empathy and showing patience, and I think taking on the mentality that conflict does make us stronger. Every good story needs conflict, first of all. But I'm a big proponent of taking interpersonal conflict and turning it into a stronger relationship as a result.
Amina, thank you. This was all fascinating. There's so much to learn. You know, one of the other things that I am obsessed about is why these clients are working with you. The economics of video is fascinating. It's obviously such an interesting communication tool, and there's a part to be played by so many people in the process. There's just a lot of sales involved, a lot of ideation involved, and it's just humanity is at the core of what we do in video. Yeah. So it's fascinating to get your perspective on that. Next week, we'll dive deeper into kind of that economic element of why are people paying you to do this? What is the value you bring to the market? Looking forward to hearing from Amina and our other producers on that topic. Thank you all so much for joining me, Amina. Thank you for joining me. And we will see you on the next episode of Video Production Daily. Rather than shamelessly plugging mastersofengagement.com, today I wanted to introduce you to another resource over at swaystorytelling.com/blog. Put together by Amina and team, this is an incredible resource for digging deeper into storytelling. You can find a link in the description below. We'll see you tomorrow.